Well, beloved, we've chosen here this morning, or I've chosen, or by God's providence, to read Psalm 102. And in this particular edition that I have, this large print, okay, it gives credit to no writer, okay? Like last week, we read Psalm 101, and in this edition, it attributed Psalm 101 to David. Well, in this edition, we don't know who the author of this particular psalm is, but I'm going to guess, based on what I've seen and heard just in the 12 verses, it would not surprise me if David is the writer of this psalm, because we know that David, before becoming a king, he was the avowed enemy of King Saul, the first king of Israel, who reigned for 40 years. David will reign for 40 years, and then Solomon, David's son, will reign for 40 years. So the first three kings of Israel cover an entire span on the throne of 120 years. But did you get the theme yet? Let's look at some of these words. Look at verse 2. He talks about trouble. I'm in trouble. Okay. Verse 3, he says that his days are consumed like smoke. Have you noticed the older you get, the faster the year seems to move on? He talks about his bones are burnt like in a fireplace. Verse 4, wow. He says that his innards, meaning his spiritual being, he's not talking about his organs, is smitten and withered like grass. Have you noticed, without much rain, everyone's front lawn has gone from that lush green to the dull green, and then eventually you can walk on the grass and you can hear it crunch. But then look at verse 5. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. This author is in a bad state. But then, I think we kind of get a clue. He actually attributes his situation from two areas. Number one is verse 8. My enemies reproach me all the day. And they that are mad against me are sworn against me. Now, I've taught you in the past, and I'm going to remind you, when you read the Old Testament, you're going to find Jesus just about on every page. And when you look at the major characters, like a Noah, or like an Abraham, or like a Joseph, or like a David, and the author here, we refer to them as the lesser, and Jesus being the greater representative of what that person's life was reflecting and foreshadowing Christ. Could you not say that verse 8 is a beautiful commentary of Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders who were about to plot his death? Jesus could say, my enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. So Psalm 102 verse 8, I believe, on the way I've been taught and how to think biblically, this is but an anticipation of the greater writer of Psalm 102. Okay? The Lord Jesus. Beloved, his enemies were legion. And all of his enemies, get this, were not from the street, not the rank and file, not the tax collectors, not the publicans, not the prostitutes, not even the murderers or the killers or the robbers. His chiefest enemies were dressed in robes, seated in the temple as the religious leaders and teachers of God's covenant people, and yet they failed. They hated Jesus. What a passion. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. So the author points to a human factor. But then, my word, to point the finger to heaven? Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up, and then you cast me down. I tell people that if you fall for the prosperity preaching, if you're told that a Christian is always happy, always clappy, always with a smile, never has a bad day, never has the common cold, never has aches and pains, if you have bought into that lie, That's exactly what you bought into. Because if you look at the psalmist here, if we were to take the psalmist and transport this person to our current day, they would have placed him in a wacko farm, they would have put him in a straitjacket, and they would have pumped him with all kinds of medication to sedate him. I tell people that when you read the Psalms, you are reading Biblical Christianity 101. This is what a Christian experiences. This idea that God always wants you rich and happy, clicking your heels and walking through life happy and gay with no worries and no concerns is a bunch of bunk. This is Christianity in the raw. And if you doubt me, look at Jesus. Was he happy clappy? Was he walking around clicking his heels, singing Amazing Grace 1,000 times? No. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in this verses 10, there are times, beloved, not because of any sins that you and I have done. There are times when God brings into our lives certain providences where God seems to lift you up to that mountaintop experience where you're able to gaze and look at Beulah Land. And then there are times that God says, now there's a time to test and a time for you to really hang on to me with all the might that you have. And he puts you into the valley. What did David write? Though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, not death itself. When was the last time a shadow caused you to stumble? When was the last time a shadow slapped you across the face? Shadows are simply a shadow. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And how do we know that? Look at verse 12. After all of this person just spilling his spiritual guts on the table for you and I to look at this man to the point where he can't even eat food, how does he end? How does he come to this verse 12? But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. One of the things that you notice about the psalm, that the psalmist, whether it's David, whether it's Solomon, whether it's Asaph, these guys will start off with this holy complaint. And a Christian can complain to God. The Reformers, the Puritans called it holy complaining. When you come before God with a bunch of whys, why this, why that, why me? And you're searching for an answer. You're not being arrogant. You're not putting a fist in God's face. But you come like a child to a father. You know, why am I going through this, Dad? God will never push you away. So how does the psalmist do a mid-course correction? How does he grab onto the reins while he's moaning and groaning? His words, not mine. But thou, O Lord, you shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Beloved, God is with you when you're happy, and God walks side by side with you in your pain. Matter of fact, have you ever seen that picture with the footprints in the sand? You got two sets of prints in the sand, and then all of a sudden, there's only one set of prints in the sand. And the person who was making one of those sets stops and begins to complain. Because see, the other set of prints was the Lord. And now this person only sees one set of prints. And he cries, Lord, have you abandoned me? And Jesus replies, no, son. That was me holding you. And so here's the psalmist. Beloved, this is Christianity in the raw and the real. And there are many today who pack our churches who are being fed a bunch of local weed. God wants you prosperous. Yes, he does. And that prosperity is not limited to your billfold nor to your portfolio. That prosperity, beloved, I think, really comes down to you and the relationship that you have with Christ, you in him, like the footprints in the sand. Now that's prosperity. To know that no matter what the world can throw at you, what does he say? What does he say? My enemies reproach me. Not just a couple of hours. No, all the day. And they that are mad against me are my sworn enemies. And yet in the face of all of that, the psalmist can say, for thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. So beware of local weed theology. You want to experience Jesus in the raw? Then sometimes the Lord has to take you from that mountaintop where everything is happy and clear and beautiful and joyous. Sometimes he takes you into that valley where it's totally dark and there isn't a drop of light. And in that moment, in that crucible, is when you hang on to him all the more. But bear in mind, he's holding you more than what you can ever imagine. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.